Okay, let's talk about your session with Stacy. How did that go?
It went good. Let me take out my notes. So I completely forgot that there's a structure that we're supposed to follow. So I forgot to mention how everything is confidential. And yeah, totally forgot about that. And I went straight into like, oh, what would you like to focus on? And she told me like being more organized. So we explored different ideas. I asked her if she could explain to me like just like her day. So she gave me her morning routine, and she told me she wasn't doing a morning routine. And I asked her, let's explore that a little deeper. If you were doing a morning routine, how would that make you feel? And then she said that she definitely wants to do the magical morning, what you had sent over. And I asked her, okay, let's explore that even deeper. And what's stopping you from doing the morning routine? And she was like, honestly, nothing. I was like, well, would you be open to maybe waking up like even just 5 minutes earlier than the norm? And she's like, oh yeah, absolutely. What else? We did 30 minutes. I coached her for 30 minutes, and then she coached me for 30. Yeah. And the only thing that I was a little like, oh, I forgot like the full details of batching. So I felt like a deer in headlights. I was like, okay, I have a tool if you're open to exploring, that would help you be get organized, and it's batching. But I didn't have not one freaking resource off the top of my head. I felt so stupid.
In the moment, amnesia, you're like, oh, I know this. Where is it?
I was like, I know Fawn taught me this, and Ashley, she does it. And I'm like, and Kim is like the batching queen. So yeah, internally I was like, what the hell are you doing? But it was good. She said that she would be able to check in the morning with herself, probably wake up at 6:30, check in with her thoughts, start journaling, forming gratitude, a meditation, and creating a to-do list. So that way she's not like all over the place. And then, so I asked her, how would you keep yourself, how would you hold yourself accountable? And she said, probably just checking in. And by creating blocks in her actual calendar.
Nice.
Yeah. And then at the end of day, she wants to actually check off her to-do list. And she wants to check in with herself and be able to enjoy her evening. Yeah. So it was a good call. It was a very good call.
Nice. Wow. Beautiful. So you walked her through, or you had her walk you through her day,
Yeah.
like how she kind of sets up her day or lack thereof, and helped her to troubleshoot where she could get more organized. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And the batching, like forgetting in the moment, it happens. It's going to happen. You're not alone. I mean, I've probably done that like a dozen times in front of you over the years, but it just happens. You're like, oh, like I know this. It's not coming to mind right now, but it's a really great tool, I promise. And
I mean, I didn't, I think, thankfully I didn't say shit. I didn't know. I don't know this, but internally I was having that dialogue.
I see.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome. So, a couple of notes of feedback around this, and you may have done this and just not mentioned it. So, feel free to let me know. And I'm going to put this in purple. Okay. So when somebody shares with us what they want to focus on for the call, kind of like what we were digging into last week at the end, we want to make sure that we are clear about what that means for them. And so what that looks like and why it's important to them. So being more organized, that's a good focal point, and definitely some constructive like processing happened around that. And a direction, maybe like an in-between step, would be to ask them what does being organized mean to you, or like what does that look like to you, right? So or what would it look like if you were super organized? Let's explore that so that we know where we're actually heading here, right?
Okay.
So beginning with the end in mind is one, another way to so I'll actually put that under this.
I love that beginning.
Yeah. Clarifying the vision. So, like, what specifically they're aiming for, and then what is it about this that's so important to them?
Okay. And those are really good pointers.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to say goal, but and then we also want to tune into the here and now, which you did in ways with the like morning practice, asking her if she does that, and because you already have a sense based on your experience of being in the tribe for so long that morning practice is like a game changer.
Oh yeah.
Perhaps even before that step too, is one of the in-betweens, is like, where are they at right now with this? What does this look like right now, a snapshot of their life? So you want to be over here in like organization land. Now we're clear about what that would look like for you. Where are you right now, so that we know both ends of this like journey, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And then this is where they will probably, share what a shit show everything is. like this and this. So we get a lot of information about what's getting in the way, like what isn't working, right?
Yeah.
And if they don't share that, we can invite them into that. So what is it? I'll just put that. Not working. Anyway. Okay. Then we have a clear sense of where this person is, where they want to be, why they want to be there, and where they're at now, and what might be getting in the way. So now we've got all of this, like, now we see the journey, right? Now we can, or at least we can kind of see the coordinates of the map,
yeah,
or the journey. And then, yeah, then dive right into, for example, if she, you know, part of that, she might be like, oh, I wake up at like 7 and I oversleep my alarm and I'm always in a rush and I'm super stressed. We might go, okay, let's hit the pause. Let's stop here. Like, slow down and back up a little bit. Let's start from this, because, and you can share with your client, how we start our day is how the rest of our day unfolds. Like that's how it works. So let's talk about this beginning part because it's the most important thing. And you may have even gone over this with her. But then we know, like, based on what's shared here, we know the specific, like, you know, points of focus.
Okay.
And this is a tricky guy. I'm gonna say psychologically, but like in their mindset, their way of being, their beliefs, right? This is a big part of it that they probably outright say at first, like, oh, well, I'm not a morning person. That right there is a story. That's a belief system. I mean, yeah. It's hard for me to admit that actually, because I'm like, I'm not a morning person, but it's because they told me some of that story and I stay up till midnight. So this part is super, you know, like, yeah, if you have a story that you're not a morning person, if you have a story that like you're always late and you're always in a rush, like these beliefs are going to be wreaking havoc, right?
So. Absolutely.
So these are things that clarifying the vision, this is why this is so important, because we don't, A, we learn the client's world, and B, we don't want to assume, we never want to make assumptions about what their vision means to them or what that is for them. Gotcha. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So, and again, it sounds like on the exploration that you went on with her, maybe one of her, maybe had you done this at the beginning, she may have said like, well, gosh, being organized would be like being at 5 o'clock, having my to-do list checked off, and I'm on the couch with a glass of iced tea or something.
True. Yeah. This is, I like this layout that you have here.
Awesome.
Now, how would you go about establishing, like, I know you don't have to establish, like, once you have a rapport with your client. Mm-hmm. So how would you go about that?
About this part?
No, about like confidentiality.
Oh, the first awkward stuff.
Yeah.
Just, you don't have to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Like once you have a rapport with someone and you've established the rules of engagement and like how you work as a coach and which is also the establishing the coaching agreement.
Perfect.
Once you've had that conversation once, then you don't need to have it again, with the small exception of I like to, for my own framework, I like to, at the beginning of our session, say, okay, like, let's do some review, get caught up. A couple things that stood out to me right here. Here are some things I thought about before our session that might be helpful. And of course, in the session prep, they already say like what they want to focus on. Mm-hmm. So I'll say like, that's our main focus. And let's do a little bit of like, catch up first to get on the same page before we head there. So like I unpack that and describe that on most sessions with most people to give them a sense of what we're doing and where we're heading. It's just, even if we work together for a million years, like it's helpful, I think, for them to know what's going on instead of like, okay, what are we doing today?
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's just my own preference.
I felt like since I kind of know her already, like I didn't like drop in and was like, oh shit, I gotta like remind her that this is a safe space, you know what I mean? So yeah
and I'm not gonna obsess that you guys like do that at all. I think it's ridiculous if I'm being honest, but yeah. I don't even do that on my consultation calls. Like if the ICF would pull my eyeballs out if they knew that, but That's why I'm not a part of their organization. I just, my personal thing is like, I just don't do that, except for when I begin a journey with somebody and I'm super clear about my rules of engagement so of that course. We can have the container, you know, and the trust. Yeah. So, yeah. And thank you for speaking to that. I'll post something about that in the group. But like, yeah, I need to post something about that anyhow. So thank you for the
reminder. No problemo.
Beautiful. Okay. So there's that aspect of it. I love that you explored. Like, I actually really appreciate that you brought up the morning practice to her. Again, that's like, I think that's great because you already know how helpful and powerful it mm-hmm. is, right? And kind of like what I was saying earlier, like if we have a bunch of information about something, let's not make our clients go find that information. It's kind of like useful tools or useful lifestyle implementations. It's like, oh, have you tried out the morning practice? Oh, okay. Well, highly recommend it, you know? And, so I think that that's totally fine. And then she came up with a bunch of things that she can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Check in with herself. Gratitude to do this. Great. Accountability. Nicely done. Yep. Did you guys talk about obstacles? Like what could get in the way?
Oh, no, we didn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She did in the beginning mention that because of work, that her type of work, she has to like focus on the task right away. It's not like she can just like brush it off or say like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Like it needs to be done today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we haven't emphasized this yet in any of our trainings, so mm-hmm. no worries at all. But the obstacles are really, this is a really helpful part of it. Because we can plan all day what we're going to do and like, you know, these like success strategies. And if it's like, we also have like, messes all over the house and cookies and cookie jars and stuff. It's really, really hard. Yep. Cool. Beautiful. Okay. So I'll probably get around to listening to that recording sometime this week, but it sounds like you followed the flow and for the most part, except for the confidentiality, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, so when you guys flipped, how did that go?
It went good. She did awesome. Like, she is such a natural.
Aww.
Yeah, like super, like it came very natural for her. Because since I didn't go over confidentiality, like I was like, oh, you know, let's follow the structure this time. And so she, what she said in the beginning, and you'll see in the call, like she said it so perfectly that I'll probably go back and like see what resonated with me. But I remember her saying like, you know, this is a safe space. Mm. And she worded it so beautiful. Mm. And I was just telling her how I want to focus on working out minimum 3 times a week.
Mm.
And so she asked me like what was getting in the way of me not working out right now. And so she asked me how like my schedule was flowing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would be open to creating a block for myself so that way I could have time to work out. Mm-hmm. And she asked me like what works best during the in the morning or at night. And I told her definitely in the morning because it sets the tone for the rest of my day.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And did she bring up you finding a block of time for yourself, or was that something that you came up with and then she helped you explore it?
No, she came up with that, like creating it like on my calendar. But she asked me if I use my calendar, and I told her, yeah, definitely. But I never really use it for myself. I use it for, like, let's say if I have a call with you, or like, but never like, oh, you know, let me just check in with myself. No.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. And you found, did you find like the process that you guys went through? Was it helpful in thinking about things in a new way, or having like realizations or insights about that?
I think I was so focused just being like the client that I didn't, but I didn't even, you know, like I was on a listening level one for sure. For sure.
Okay.
Just in the beginning though, like what she said about like, you know, the safe space, I loved what she said. And where are my notes? Oh, this right here. I told her this is golden. She put, mom being a good mom is mom taking care of herself. And that really resonated with me. It's so true. You know, in order for you to be a good mom, you have to take care of yourself.
Those are your words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good call.
Nice. Cool. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, I listened to you guys' recording. Way to do it. Wow. Yeah, that was your first coaching practice call that wasn't your brother, right?
Yeah. And then this week I have my sister-in-law and then a friend from high school. She wants me to coach her. So yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
You have two outsiders and a friend from high school.
Yep.
Oh. Wow. Good job. Yep. Coach your butt off.
Absolutely.
Yep. Cool. Something you can say that I still say, I literally just said this on two sessions last weekend. If it's somebody new, I'll say this with them, that we're joining forces to explore together and to support you in moving in a direction that you want to be moving in, or a vision that's important to you. And there's no rules, there's no right or wrong, and there's no expectations. Like, we might discover something huge, or we might not really come across anything this time, and that's totally normal and okay, like on both sides, right? I'll say that still because for those who have never been coached before, they don't know, right? They have no idea what to expect or what this is about or how this is different from counseling or therapy or consulting. So I like to say that to just take the pressure off of everybody in the moment and, you know, and almost always there's something super helpful about the session. And what I've learned, and I learned this from Rich, or he articulated it recently, and I was like, that's so fucking true, that sometimes the most powerful insights and transformations come between the sessions. Session happens and we're like in it, and then, you know, but maybe there's not a huge aha or like a huge like whoa, but then a few days later it's like holy cow, and like the realization happens or something.
So true.
So, yeah, it's nice to not have the pressure of anything in the call.
Yeah, and I think that's where I was with my brother. Like, I wanted him to just like start having those aha moments right away and not being patient, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's crazy because then afterwards, like, I left leaving the call, like, I don't know if anything clicked. But then something clicked with him because he was so emotional, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Great example. I think that it establishes, it almost establishes more permission for both people to share, explore, get vulnerable, right? There's no, because there's no rules. There's no, like, container. The other, oh my God, that's great. The other day in a session, my client brought up, I pay attention for imagery. If they're like, yeah, it feels like this, and they like describe something abstract or like a metaphor, I really pay attention to that. And this is like advanced coaching techniques that I don't do a lot, but sometimes I'll do it where the image that came up for her was a rope, and it was this like golden rope that had been through a lot of weather and storms. So the top was like dirty and weathered, but then the golden rope was underneath it. Like there was this whole clear picture in her mind that like symbolized and represented this really big deal life thing that we were working through. And I was like, I'm just going to go with it. Like, and I just decided to explore the rope. Like, okay. Like, so where is the rope? Like, how did it get so weathered, you know? Like, and I wouldn't probably feel comfortable or free to do that if I felt pressure to get to a destination with her, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
And it turned out that it was huge. She was like, oh my, like the, it ended up like kind of solving the riddle at the end. It was two ropes and they were both like,
that's amazing.
It was so cool. And like, it was all her, you know. I was just like, okay, and then what if you start untangling them? What happens? And just like playing in that space of curiosity. So, she's one of the newer clients I've been working with. So I did tell her at the beginning of the, you know, our calls that, again, no pressure, no expectation. Let's just like start exploring and see where we go. And that just creates so much like, lifts off all of the
the pressure, especially like the pressure from us, and I'm sure from them as well, because I'm sure they probably want aha moments after every call, and it's really not like that.
Yeah, I like to think of it as like we're going exploring for imagery. Again, we're going exploring for gems in this field. And some gems are like, we can see the twinkle and we're like, ooh, there's one, and we go for it. And it's like, they find it and they're like, oh, a gem. But sometimes we like see a little mound that might be a gem, and we go over there with them and we keep like peeling back the layers. And there's a sense that there's something under there. And if we stop, like with a few layers to go, then it may not feel like anything's happened or that we got closer to the thing. But in reality, like when we come back and there might just be like one more layer, and then it's like, oh, or maybe like after the session, they go out and like something happens and it clears off that last layer for them.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Definitely.
So yeah, coaching is so much, I mean, as much as it's like structure and technique and questions and all this stuff, like it really is so much trust and vulnerability and not knowing and just like, let's see. Yeah, we get better at being in the unknowing the more we do it.
Gotcha.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, super.
Yeah, it's very strange. Like thing we're doing. And another thing, and I'm going to all share this in Foundations too, probably next week. Coaching will show us where our ego is at time and time again. Like if we wrap a session and we're feeling great and the client had an aha, like, yes, that's awesome. And we have to be so careful to not attach our worthiness or our capability to that feeling of like, you know, like, oh, they had a breakthrough. So I'm a great coach. Like I'm good at this. Like that's good in a, like an affirming way. But if we, because we'll know when our ego is getting too involved, when we have a session, like what you're describing, and it's like, did anything even happen? Like mm-hmm. we just feel like we missed it. You know, it's that feeling of like, oh God, like, did they get anything out of that? Like, should I refund their money? Ah. And it happens. Like it definitely happens where, oh my God, sometimes I'm like, do I need to go back to coaching school? What the fuck just happened? And we'll know if we're on any, if our ego is becoming attached, if we start to get the gremlins are like, you're no good. Like they didn't get anything out of that. Like you suck as a coach. Like,
yeah.
Right. So we get to be mindful of like, okay, I could have done better. Let me be objective about troubleshooting that. But I'm not going to like wrap my ego as a coach around that just because I had session that may have not have been knocked out of the park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so true. Like being careful of attaching our ego with mm-hmm. Like all those like aha moments. It's so true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also something, this is probably too, who knows, it's coming up, so I'm going to share it. It's also something that we get to help our clients drop into in their lives is like, how conditional is their sense of self-rapport where if they're doing really well and they're kicking ass at their goals and they're, you know, da-da-da, like, that's great. Like, let's celebrate that. This is in the Coactive book as well. Mm-hmm. Let's celebrate that, but not the goals themselves and not the success itself, but the client's behavior and the client's decision and like their active choice to be in alignment with themselves. Let's celebrate that. It's not about the money. It's not about the girls. It's not about the car, right? It's
the hard work that they put in.
Yeah. And these are Stoic principles based in Stoic philosophy, but it is very important because otherwise we get hooked onto that roller coaster of, you know, they have a bad week and their whole world crumbles. We don't want that. We want them to have a pretty even baseline and then they can like vacillate around that, but they're not going to totally crash if they eat cookies all week for a week or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Cookies. Yum. That's my weakness right there.
Me too. These days. Oh my God. It's so weird. It's so weird developing a sweet tooth at 37 years old. I'm like, what the heck? Not complaining. No, it's fine.
It's okay. I've had a sweet tooth my whole life. So
I'm
the type that I'll have dinner and I need something sweet afterwards. It's insane. And it's, of course, it's a story in my head, but
yeah, it's but it feels so real when we're craving it.
Yeah.
But I feel it to be true. Yeah. Oh, so good. Okay. Oh boy. Okay, let me just see what else I have up here. Okay. Let's talk about this as we start to wrap out. So as we are helping our clients check in with their inner world, their thoughts, their stories, their belief systems, and I'm trying to think of a good example right now. Okay. Here's an example. Money story is something that gets really conditioned and programmed into us from, like, deeply from our family of origin, our society, and our culture. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those areas of life that if it's looking out of alignment or disastrous, it's a pretty clear sign that something in the conditioning is not, the settings are off, right? It's been conditioned in a non-productive or non-healthy way. So there's a one-to-one correlation with that. So it's like one of the more obvious things. Relationships are another one. Health is another one. So if I am working with somebody on their money story and they just stress out about buying anything, like they feel super guilty spending money on anything at all. Like, and so therefore going to the store is really stressful for them. Buying gifts, making any kind of purchase is like, it's a whole experience. Like it's a whole thing for them. Mm-hmm. And if I'm working with them on this, I will get really curious about what's going on in their inner world. Right. So I'll have them give me an example, like of recently when they had this happen. And so they'll be like, oh, I was at Costco and I saw a new set of towels and like our towels are 12 years old and they're kind of falling apart and we really need new towels. But I looked at those towels and I almost had an anxiety attack because they were $40, but they were high thread count. And they'll like start telling the whole thing around the moment. And so I'll say, okay, thank you so much for sharing that. Great example. Let's slow this down. Let's unpack what happened there. Starting from the moment before you saw the towels to seeing the towels to the other side of the towels. Like, let's walk through this like frame by frame by frame, right? It's a great way to get people to check in with their belief systems and stories. So they'll start walking us through it. Like, well, I was feeling pretty fine, even though I'm in Costco, it's already nerve wracking, but I was feeling okay relatively. And then when I saw the towels, I felt immediately like so anxious. And I'll be like, okay, let's freeze that. Let's slow that down. Let's even slow that down, because that millisecond, that trigger that happened, seeing towels. And then there's the response that happened, feeling anxious and stressed out, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever happened between the trigger and the response, that's what we're getting curious about. That's
gotcha.
What is catalyzing everything. Because one person can look at those towels and be like, towels, and walk by. Another person could look at those towels and be like, oh my God, that's so cheap. Let's get 5 of them. Right? Like, so whatever's happening between the trigger, it's not the trigger that's actually causing the anxiety, believe it or not. And it's the association that we're making. It's the association gotcha. About what those towels mean. Mm-hmm. Let's slow that down. So it's like zooming in, slowing down, right? Like, and then, okay, see towels. Well, then I had the thought, we need towels. I remembered that we need towels. And then I saw the price and I felt really anxious. And I'll be like, okay. So something about the price, like, what does the price mean to you? Like what comes up around that? And they might say something like, well, that means I have to spend money. That means that's $50 I don't have in savings. We don't really need towels. Like that's kind of a ridiculous thing to spend money on if we don't absolutely need them. So then we're starting to unpack the belief system around what was inside of that trigger, right?
Gotcha.
And and this alone is so valuable. Like if all we did as coaches is this on every session, like it would be really helpful. Because we're helping people see into this seemingly uncontrollable knee-jerk experience, right? Like this problem they keep having. So, okay, so we're in this, like, they're deep into, well, it would mean I have to spend money. It would mean it doesn't get to go into savings. It would mean I'm really selfish. And then so they're starting to share what these stories are. And we can continue to help them pull these out. Maybe we'll take some notes for them or we'll record mm-hmm. it and have them listen back. But then we'll say, okay, so let's take a pause here. Take a deep breath, like, because they're going to be in like an anxious state, probably recalling this. So we'll have them like stretch or like wiggle around, or we'll check in with them. How are you feeling? They'll be like, I'm feeling fucking anxious. Like, okay, like, let's take a few breaths. Let's get out of the, like, get back in the zone of tolerance, right? So we can actually have a logical, constructive conversation about this. Because if they're in the anxiety of it, they're not going to be able to think about it rationally, probably, right?
Yeah.
So we want to bring them back to like, okay, I'm feeling okay. And then we'll go now from your safe space right now, your adult self. Let's take a look at what you just shared with me in terms of the stories and the beliefs that came up automatically in that split second, right? I'm selfish. We buying towels unless we absolutely need to is frivolous. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, like, is that true? Is that real? Right. Is that actually real? Having them check in with their story and then reality is the most powerful thing we can do.
Wow. Like, yeah.
Right. Is it true and real that, you know, each layer of it, like, okay, is this one real? Is this one true? And maybe some of it is. Maybe they are on a budget. Maybe they don't have $50 to spend on towels, right? Mm-hmm. So there might be an element of truth in that, but obviously their reaction was like disproportionate to the thing, right?
Yeah.
Like anybody else would be like, oh, I can't afford those, but that reminds me I need to go to Target and buy half off, you know, with the cheaper ones or whatever. So having them reality check their story will help them start to realize that it's irrational. It's like not based in reality. Mm-hmm. And then we can ask them, so is this a real story or belief, or is this a remembered story or belief?
Mm.
And that can be a whole unpacking, and oftentimes is a whole unpacking process too, where it's like, where do you remember first feeling like this? Where do you remember first having the thought of, or the story of like, if I buy something I don't need, it's really selfish. Like, where might that stem from? Was there anybody in your life that used to say stuff like that? Is there, you know, we'll start to like help them trace, because if it's not aligned with reality right now, right, but it's coming up, then it's coming from somewhere. It's coming from something that they picked up along the way, which we all do. And when they can hone in on, or even just realizing that it's not aligned with reality, sometimes that can, it'll dissipate the whole thing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's really helpful to trace the origins. And oftentimes those origins are, well, my mom used to, you know, save rolls of money between her mattress, because if my dad found out, he'd get mad, and like we didn't have enough food as kids. But then we get to learn like where this is coming from.
A whole other layer.
A whole other layer. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So, and we'll pick up there maybe next time, like what to do once they realize, oh my God, this is like my childhood, you know, this is coming from like little me. But this part I wanted to share with you tonight, because it's a really powerful and also like step-by-step way to help people check in with if their beliefs and stories are aligned with reality or if they're not.
Yeah, that was so powerful.
Yeah, I'm going to stop talking. What's your feedback? Questions. I love your questions.
Okay, so when would you apply this?
A lot. I would apply this when honestly, like, it's something we can apply whenever somebody's results aren't aligned with their desires.
Okay.
When they're so, like, Stacey, for example, I'll just use this as an example. Mm-hmm. Even though it didn't sound like she has, like, a really intense, dramatic, catastrophic experience around organization, mm-hmm. it's still valuable. This could still be used for that, where if she's like, I want to get more organized, right? We could be like, okay, so what does it look like right now? Like, just give me a kind of here and now about what feels not organized for you. And so they'll share that. Maybe a piece of that stands out to us as like, like, we could go into that a little more deeply, right? So maybe she says, well, I just constantly sleep in. I'm not a morning person and I oversleep my alarm all the time. And I'm always in a rush, you know? So we might say, okay, let's slow that down a little bit. Let's get curious and see what might be going on there that might be affecting or impacting this. And so we could say, all right, so give me an example of a recent morning where you felt super disorganized and you're like, well, this morning, this and this and this. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, like, so sounds like you slept in, blah, blah, blah. Let's slow that down a little bit. What contributed to you sleeping in? What contributed to you hitting snooze? Well, I stay up late and I hate my job. Okay. Tell me a little bit more about this, like, hating your job thing. Well, you know, and they'll tell us about that. Okay. And then tell me a little bit about the staying up late thing. Well, I stay up late because it's the only time I have for myself because blah, blah, blah. And then in order to get enough sleep, I sleep in, right? So there's the story. And so then we can have them slow that down and just notice the pattern that might be happening and, like, the connection points of, or we could even ask, like, how might hating your job be related to staying up late and sleeping in? Mm. What might the connection be there? Or how is everything, how might this part be impacting that part? How might staying up late be impacted by what happens earlier in your day, right? So just kind of teasing things apart. And a belief system that might be going on in there is, I'm not a morning person anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't, even if I go to sleep at 8 p.m., I'm not a morning person. I used to say that one a lot. So we might have a sense of the stories that they might be telling themselves in that regard, or they might just be saying it. And we can have them, we can say, like, okay, let's slow that down. How do you know you're not a morning person? Like, was there ever a time when you remember waking up feeling energized and refreshed and, like, good? What happens when you go to sleep early consistently and get rest? You know, how do your mornings feel then? So having them reality check, like, is it aligned with reality that you're not a morning person, or is that a story or something remembered? And, or is it a story that I my life is so out of control that I don't have time for myself. So I go to bed late and I don't even care. You know, I hate my job. But yeah, I don't know if that was as good of an example, because it's not as like intense. But
super. Yeah.
Yeah, just that like slow down, check in. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like really diving in.
Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
Mm. Yeah. Awesome. Because we can, and I'm going to share this with the foundations group too, because I noticed this last week, or I have a hint that it's time to illuminate this, where a like top layer would be to help them solve the problem strategically, right? Like, mm-hmm. okay, like let's put a plan in place. Let's like get your system styled. And sometimes that's useful, and that's totally the most valuable thing for that part of their life.
Yeah.
And sometimes though, if we're too quick to jump to let's troubleshoot that thing and see, you know, just like change lifestyle or habits or whatever, we're kind of missing there's like symptom and there's disease.
Right? Yeah.
And if we're treating the symptom, maybe things will get better. Sometimes they do, because we're mm-hmm. switching things up, but we might be missing a more core component of that thing. Yeah. So like, okay, you're disorganized. Why are you disorganized? Not just like your house is a mess, but like, why are you disorganized? I know we can't ask why questions, but that's like what we're curious about, is like, like what is it in this person's operating system that's having them have
that
a mess?
Causes them, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So good.
Cool. Yeah. It's like some Jedi stuff. It's
really is. It really, really is.
Yeah.
And sometimes I now see myself like coaching myself, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. It's only
like belief systems. Like I was having a moment of not feeling confident, and then I'm like, okay, where is this stemming from? And then I really unpacked, and it's just because coaching is something new.
Mm-hmm.
So feeling, getting out of the ordinary, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's stretchy. So,
yeah.
So it's not that I'm not confident. It's just, I'm learning the tools, you know?
Yeah. Perfect example. Yes. Where on a surface level, maybe you would have like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. I'm not confident. This isn't right for me. Like, this isn't the thing for me. I need to do something that's more natural or something. Right.
Yeah.
But
totally.
Yeah. But then realizing like, oh, okay. Actually, it's just that I'm new and I don't know yet. Like, I'm still learning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. That's awesome. Great example. So, and this is what I was inviting that last exercise last week in foundations, like to the group, to help me pull out my vision. Like, why is this important to me? What is it about this that's important to me? And like peel back the layers. And that was a great exercise because, of course, everybody's like new to this. So it gave me a reading of where I need to step in and like provide more context and information around the layer peeling.
Yeah.
Around that. Yeah. Cause there is a natural temptation to be like, oh, have you tried this? Have you thought about this? Like, what about that? Like, you know, is it about the $10 million? Where could you get $10 million? And like, people are like jumping to solve the problem already. Right. It's like,
that's so freaking true.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So true.
Yeah. And it's natural. Like, that's what, especially as women, we're like, oh, let's fix the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true.
I even got text messages afterwards of like, have you thought about angel investors? Have you thought about this? And I'm like, guys. So sweet.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So I'm going to record. I've been taking some notes and record a video about like exactly what you and I went through basically today about like, that you know, first identifying the vision and then going into brainstorming, like what happens in that gap that we get to dive into and peel back.
Yeah. That was good.
Sweet. All right. So we are over time. Questions about what we covered tonight. We covered a lot of ground as usual.
No, this was great. This was really, really good. It's always great.
Awesome. So I think my invitation for you, in addition to the continuing to do your research around brand and stuff, play with this space here that we just talked about.
Okay.
Yeah. Play with that space. And if you feel weird doing it, you can even tell the person, like, I might ask you a lot of questions about your vision, because I just want to make sure we're on the same page about it, you know?
Okay.
And yeah, I get really curious about, have them describe it to you, have them, you know, like, well, this is important to me because I've always wanted to retire my mom, and like help them get to the, the power of the thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. And then if you want to, or can create an opportunity to, maybe with, I don't know, your brother or friend or something, like you can do some exploration around this specific thing. So if they're just really struggling with something in particular, you can use the, like that process of like, you know, tell me an example of like a recent time where this came up, and they'll tell you, and then you can like slow it down and unpack and slow it down.
Okay. Yeah, totally. So I could do this with my brother in regards to confidence.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could practice with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Like, okay. So what feelings did you have? What thoughts happened in the moment? And I'd be like, well, I don't have enough money. And you'd be like, okay. Like, yeah, that would be a fun one to explore.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to focus on or have like accountability to check in about next time?
Definitely the real or remembered framework. I really want to explore that, because I feel like that's like the main ingredient to like our system. Right. 'Cause you really dive in. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Great. Also keeping in mind, I just feel like I need to say this, that in parentheses, reality is a construct of our thinking. So even real is,
yep.
Yeah. There's even some nuance with that. But
totally.
Cool. All right. And then your the powerful questions, keep referring to those and, you know, batching those, creating lists and doing your practice sessions, just getting those sessions under your belt.
Okay.
That's really, and applying this stuff. And I think that's good, because this is deep stuff. Like this is,
okay.
This is some like really attention oriented focus. If you need to do or want to do, like I said, if you want to just like, you can totally just tell your friend like, hey, I'm focusing on this one part of like coaching. Can I practice this with you? And you can do like the gap, you know, like help them unpack their vision, or as long as they know that they're like helping you practice, it's totally fine.
Okay, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Let's do a takeaway.
Oh man, so many. I would definitely say real versus remembered framework. That really resonated with me. So that's a huge takeaway, because I feel like if I could apply that to each session, it would be so helpful for the client.
Cool.
Yeah.
Deep dive. Cool. Yeah. So another way to, and you might come across this, is like, is it true or is it a story? Right. So I'll just put that in the notes. Yeah. Awesome. I'm so grateful that that was helpful. Kind of connecting the dots of how to dive in there.
Definitely.
Cool. Yeah. Create some opportunities to dive in with that this week. I'm excited to hear how that goes. And let me know if you have any questions, of course, along the way.
Okay. Thank you, Fawn.
Yeah. Awesome. Have a great rest of your night. And maybe I'll see you on Wednesday if you want to pop in. But otherwise, I'll see you on Monday.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Fawn. Have a good night.
You too. Bye, Ariana.
Bye.
Adios.